May be seated. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and keep your Bibles out. We're going to use a goodly amount of scripture tonight, and I am excited. This is my favorite topic in the whole world to teach on, and I'm wound up. I don't care if you are, I'm going to be wound up. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to talk about salvation in the blood of Jesus. Salvation in the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed or saved with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot, without blemish and without spot. Now, skip down to verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This, obviously, is in reference to being saved and the blood. It saddens me that many preachers, saddens me that most denominations have quit preaching on the blood of Jesus Christ. The United Methodist Church has taken all the songs about the blood of Jesus out of their hymn books. So have most of the denominations. No wonder religion is so messed up. Now, my definition of religion is different than most people. To me, Christianity is obeying that book right there. Religion is man telling God how God has to accept man. That's most churches in this world. Now, here's what I want you to get. There is no salvation. There is no Christianity, there is no hope for heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ. None. Matter of fact, we read it. For as much as we know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Now, look at me. Let me teach you some Bible. We're going to use the scriptures here. Since the first sin in Genesis chapter 3, blood has had to cover or pay for our sin. Remember when God said, when Adam came to, and God were together, and he said, look, you've sinned, and God made them coats of skins. Where did those skins come from? Animals. That was the first death on the earth. In other words, God had to kill the animals, take the skins, plural, multiple animals. And those had to be put together into clothing for Adam and Eve to wear so that they were covered. And it was a picture, according to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, talking about Jesus bruising the head of Satan and Satan bruising the heel of Jesus. That was what Calvary was. Jesus was stepping on the devil's head, crushing it, but it also bruised him. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The Old Testament sacrifices saved no one. The Old Testament sacrifices had nothing to do with washing your sin away. It was a picture of what Jesus would do. They were a picture of his coming, dying at Calvary as the lamb, being buried, resurrected, and putting the blood on the mercy seat for eternal salvation. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 9. Back just a few pages. Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse number 11. Now, I'm going to read fast because I've probably got 50 or 60 verses we're going to use tonight. So mark these and come back to them if you can't catch up. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 11. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrificeth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Skip over to chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Ooh, notice, a shadow. Those things were a shadow of what was to come. Watch this. And not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. So in other words, God said those sacrifices didn't make anybody saved. Didn't make anybody perfect in the sight of God. Verse 2. For then they would not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Now, I disagree. I preached a whole sermon on this months ago. There is no such thing as Old Testament law, New Testament grace. That's Calvinism. It's wrong. It's bad doctrine, and there's no such thing. People in the Old Testament got saved looking ahead to Calvary. They said, Jesus is coming, and he is going to be born, live a sinless life, die, shed his blood, be buried, and resurrect from the dead. We have the complete holy word of God. We look back and say, Jesus did do those things. We have history. We have the word of God to prove it. We have all those things. He already did it. In the Old Testament, they used sacrifices to show as a shadow of what would come. In the New Testament, we don't sacrifice. Say, what do? How many of you have ever heard of the Lord's Supper, communion? Same thing, broken body, shed blood. The New Testament version, that's why before Calvary, he ate with the disciples what they call the Last Supper, should have been the First Supper. It's the Lord's Supper. Say why? Because it pictured the broken body and the shed blood that he did for us. Same as the Old Testament. Now, watch this. This blood was to remind people what it cost God to pay for our salvation. And that sin made it to where we could never pay for it ourselves. Those sacrifices saved nobody. They were for us to look at and say, we, because of sin, cannot earn salvation, and it's going to cost God the broken body and shed blood of his own son for our sins. That's what it pictured. Now, man, because of his sinful pride in wanting to be his own God, Genesis chapter 3, has made religion and called it Christianity. He now devises ways that he, sinful man, can pay his own sin debt with just a little help from God. Oh, you can go to the church and join the church and get baptized, and if you live good enough, then you can go to heaven. Wrong answer. Jesus didn't die for that mess. You can't go light candles and pray to the Holy Father that dresses like a holy mother and acts like an unholy cow. You can't do the traditions. You can't go to catechism or whatever they call those things. They can spit holy water in the ashes of last year's palm fronds and put them on your head on Fat Tuesday or Thrifty Wednesday or whatever it is, and all you want. But those things will not do anything for salvation. You can join all the churches. You can get baptized till you in every creek and pond till you know every tadpole by name, but you'll still die and go to hell. You can talk to the guy in the telephone booth and pay him money and tell him all the bad things you did and die and go to hell. He can't save you. He can't absolve your sin. He can't take your sin on his life. He's a sinner just like you are. Those are the traditions of men. Now watch this. This is why religion is all over the place, and we have to, and none of it's biblical. For man to admit that the blood is necessary for salvation, he has to put his own works aside and his own righteousness aside and accept the righteousness of someone else. That is the purpose of the blood. Now, let me give you three things tonight. but we're going to use a lot of verses, and I'm really excited about point number one. Number one, the Old Testament sacrifices were a picture of Jesus. He was the sacrifice as well as our high priest. He was the sacrifice. He was, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But he was also our high priest that could offer that sacrifice for us. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse number 11. Romans chapter 5, verse number 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, or salvation. Wherefore, or being saved. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered the world. Who was that one man by which sin entered the world? Adam, right? All right. And death by sin. So then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. Look at verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. Now watch this verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. God was telling us, look, Adam brought sin into the world and death passed upon all men, but Jesus is the second Adam. He came not only as the Lamb of God, but the one that was able to offer it to God to pay the sin debt for everybody. He lived our righteousness for us. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, my soul. I'm trying not to hurry too fast because I want to get to this part coming up here. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse number 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Notice something. Preached the gospel before unto Abraham. Let me ask you a question. Did Abraham come before Moses? Yes or no? Yes, he did. You realize there was over 2,000 years, probably closer to 3,000 years, of existence of people before there ever was what you call the law? You had the whole time before Noah. You have time up until Moses, and Abraham came before that. And God says here, the gospel, unto Abraham. Let's keep reading. Verse number 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. By the way, this law isn't the Ten Commandments and the Levitical law. Ten Commandments is civil law. It's government. This law is the law of sin and death according to the book of Romans. For as by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. That was a law that man broke. And that is the law being referenced here. Verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for that the just shall live by faith. Now, And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that he might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What did he do while he's on the cross? He shed his what? Blood. So it is by the blood that we got our faith for salvation. He was our lamb, but he was also the high priest. I'll show you that in a moment. Because of sin, we have the curse of death on our blood. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. We're not going to take time to read those because I got to hurry here. But we have the law of sin and death in our blood. Death is in the blood. Life is in the blood. Leviticus chapter 17, verse number 11. Leviticus chapter 17, verse number 11. I'll read it to you. You won't get there in time, I'm sure. Most of you. Leviticus 17, 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. God said that the life is in the blood. Now I'm about to shout. Are you ready? Here comes the good part. I put it at the beginning this time. God used sacrifices as a picture of Jesus. He was showing us, now watch this, that an innocent life, a sinless life, by the way, what is an innocent life or a sinless life made up of? Blood. Had to be given to pay our sin debt. You see, Brother Josh, can you stand up for a second? He may be a good man, but he's not good enough to get to heaven because he's still a sinner. His blood is not good enough. He needs somebody else's blood who is innocent, without sin, to give their blood for you so that you can have eternal life. That was what the picture of the sacrifices. It took an innocent animal who did not sin to have its blood shed as a representation of what Jesus would do, who did no sin but paid our sin debt for us. Now watch this. Here's the average religious person. Well, hopefully my good works will outweigh my bad works. You're trying to use sinful blood to pay your sin debt, and it won't work. I'll go to the church and get baptized and go through all the classes and do all that they say. That is sinful blood trying to pay the atonement on its own, and it will not work. Thank you. You can have a seat. You cannot pay for it with a sinful life. A sinful life cannot pay the blood debt necessary. It takes the blood of a totally innocent, totally non-sinful person to pay your sin debt. Lest you doubt it, go back, and we won't look there, but Genesis chapter 4, you have the story of Cain and Abel. Remember how God told them to bring a sacrifice? Cain brought the sacrifice from the field. Abel brought of the firstlings of the flocks, shed the blood. God said, Abel, I have respect. You've done what I asked. Everything that I asked you to do, you did. You brought a blood offering to me, and I have respect. God looked at Cain and said, Cain, what are you doing? He said, well, I brought you the best of my fields. He said, that's not a sacrifice. It's not blood. I require blood. He said, I don't have respect for you or your sacrifice. Matter of fact, God said, sin lieth at the door. It literally means, Cain, if you'd open the door, there's an animal there crouched, ready to jump into your arms that you could use for a sacrifice. Cain said, if you don't like what I have, too bad. my way or no way, God. And God said, no way. Take your Bible, turn Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Verse number 11. It's right before the book of Revelation. Jude, verse number 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. What's that mean? They've decided that their own sacrifice is what God has to accept, not what God said. That's false religion. That's denominationalism, so to speak. It ran greedily after heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Can I tell you what the average quote-unquote Christian in our world today is doing? They're going in the way of Cain, believing they can live a certain life or they can be saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues and flip and flop on the floor. And they've got a gift from God and they don't have squat. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Thy name done many wonderful works, and he'll say, depart from me, accursed, in everlasting darkness, I never knew you. Say, why? Because they never used the blood of Jesus Christ to atone for their sin. They were trying to atone for it with their own sinful life, their own sinful blood, and they will die and go to hell. Don't care how good they were. So, the Old Testament sacrifices were a picture of Jesus. Now I'm really going to have a spell. The Old Testament sacrifices, number two, pictured what was to happen in heaven with Jesus. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 9 again. Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse number 18. Oh, my soul, I'm going to read about 10 verses here, so follow along fast. Hebrews chapter 9, except I'm in Hebrews chapter 10. That's not going to help me. Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse number 18. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Do you remember when the temple was done, or the tabernacle was done, all the sacrifices, Moses took the hyssop weed and he sprinkled all the instruments, sprinkled everything with blood, and was sprinkling the people with blood because he was talking about the blood giving the life. Now watch verse number 20. Saying, this blood is the testament which is joined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Wait a minute. You remember when Moses was on the mount? God showed Moses the pattern for the tabernacle. Do you know where the tabernacle was? It was in heaven. The one on earth was a replica of the one in heaven. That's what it says. It was, verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Not blood with bulls and calves and of other things. For Christ is entered not into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. My opinion, think I can back it with just that portion of scripture right there. I believe the true there is a tabernacle in heaven. The one on earth was made with the hands of men in the Old Testament. Now watch this. It was, God showed Moses the pattern. Where was the original? In heaven. Jesus did not go into the earthly tabernacle and put his blood on the mercy seat, but he did go into heaven and put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. That's why when Mary saw him on the road in the cemetery after the resurrection, and she finally recognized, she said, Rabboni, and went to touch him, he stepped back and said, don't touch me, I've not yet ascended my Father. You say, why? Because in the Old Testament, when the priest washed at the laver and they sacrificed the lamb, from that point on, if any human being touched him before he got the blood on the mercy seat, while he was in the presence of God, God would kill him. He had to take that sacrifice, take that blood and the weed, the hyssop weed. He would walk through the congregation. He would walk into the holy place, table of showbread, the candlestick, the altar of incense, the veil, go underneath the mercy seat, and the Ark of the Covenant would be there, and he'd take the blood and sprinkle it. The Shekinah glory of God would come down, and he would come back out to the people once a year and say, it is finished. Wonder where Jesus got that. He wasn't talking about his life being finished. He was talking about the sacrifices finished. He said, ka-ching, you can count on it. I'll take the blood to the true tabernacle in heaven, in God's presence, and put my blood on the mercy seat. Now, listen to this very carefully. All of the priestly garments, all of the Levitical priesthood, all of those things were a picture of what Jesus would do. He died as our lamb, but he resurrected as our high priest. He went to heaven, put his blood on the mercy seat of heaven. Again, this is my opinion. I believe the tabernacle is the throne room of God. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, verse 24, for Christ is entered not into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Where did he have to take that sacrifice? To the presence of God on the mercy seat in heaven. Guess who's seated on the mercy seat in heaven? God the Father. Now, you and I could disagree on that. It's not going to change anything. We know God's presence is there, period. We know that he put the blood on the mercy seat in heaven, and it's there for our salvation. And all of the priestly garments, by the way, that's why Colossians chapter 3 said, all of those holy days, all of those spiritual things, all of those rituals and sacrifices and holy days and feasts, they were all nailed to the cross because Jesus fulfilled them. That's why the church is not a temple. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. The church is not a New Testament version of the temple. The temple was pointing to what Jesus would do. He did away with the temple, resurrected as the church. Now, I have a whole bunch of verses here. We're not going to get to them all, but let me read a couple of them to you. John chapter 1, verse number 29 says this. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. I'll get there. Ephesians 1, 7 says this. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 13. But now in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. Guess what? It's by the blood that we're reconciled to him, and it was by the blood of Christ, not by the blood of bulls and goats. You go to 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. You should be close there wherever you were last. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7, Bible says this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not joining the church. Not the pope. Not the priest. Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Now, the attack on the blood by religion has been that we don't want a violent religion. Christianity should not be a violent religion. Well, sin is violent. It causes death. It takes blood to fix the violence of sin. By the way, we read in Leviticus chapter 17, verse number 11, that the life is in the blood, correct? If I listen to me, I'm going to say it. I don't care if a hair lips every dog in town. Churches and preachers and Christians who do not preach the blood have lifeless churches. Their churches are dead. They have to manufacture life, so they bring in rock music. They bring in praise and worship teams and jump up and down and dance. Because they have no life spiritually, they've got to use the only life they have, which is physical, human life. But their churches are dead. Boy, that's fun. Man, preacher. Number three, and I'm done. Now I'm really going to have fun. Number three, you ready? The same blood that Jesus paid for our salvation is the same blood that paid for the church. Turn to Acts chapter 20. I want you to see something. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse number 27. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I'll make some tough statements here. The word purchased. Do you know what the word purchase means? It doesn't just mean bought. Acts chapter 20, verse number 28, the word purchase means this. The right price applied at the right place. Did you know you can't pay your mortgage bill to your car company? Well, I sent it to Ford Motor Credit. I sent my house payment to Ford Motor Credit. They're not going to get it at your mortgage company. You say, why? Well, I paid the price, but you paid it at the wrong place. Now watch this. Jesus didn't just pay the price for our sin at Calvary. He applied it at the right place. You see, the blood had to be applied or sprinkled on the mercy seat eternally in heaven for the salvation of your soul and to pay for the church. Do you remember Passover? What was Passover? Passover was while the Jews were in Egypt getting ready to leave under the bondage of Egypt after 500 years. And God said, you need to take a lamb, a perfect lamb. You need to put it up for a period of time and make sure. By the way, it has to be the best of the flocks. It can't have bad teeth, bad bones, scars. Can't have chipped out ears and teeth. It had to be a perfect lamb. He said, then I want you to cut that lamb's throat and put its blood in a bowl. And I want you to consume the whole lamb. And if you can't eat it, burn the rest of it up. But that night, you're to take a hyssop weed and that blood, and you're to take it and sprinkle it on the doorposts and the lintels of the door. And it was what the Jews did. By the way, a Jew could have taken a lamb, put it up, had the right sacrifice, did exactly what God said. But if the blood was not on the doorpost and lintels, guess what happened? Firstborn would die. They did everything but apply the blood at the right place. Now watch this. Jesus died as our lamb, but when he went to heaven, he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. The high priest in the Old Testament could have sacrificed that lamb, gone all the way to the Holy of Holies, put the blood down and say, okay, did my part and walk out. Nope. The blood had to be applied to the mercy seat. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But it has to be the applied blood, not the shed blood. Mr. MacArthur out in California is a heretic. He said the blood of Jesus trickled to the foot of the cross. It was his death that saved us, not his blood. He is a heretic and he's wrong. That blood had to be applied to the mercy seat eternally in heaven. By the way, that's why you can't lose your salvation. You would have to remove the blood from the mercy seat to get to lose your salvation. Now, Hebrews chapter 12. This is a verse most Christians know, but I'm going to show you in a different light. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse number 24. That's not the verse I was looking for, but we'll read it. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling, that speaketh to better things than that of Abel. Talking about the sprinkling of the blood. Now, let's get Hebrews chapter 10. Hold your finger there. I'm going to make one more statement. I'll close and we'll be done. Jesus paid for the church with the same blood he paid for your salvation. That means the church should be as important to the Christian as their own being saved is. Is that not true? If your salvation is precious to you, shouldn't the church then? Because it's the same blood. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. Go back to verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling or churching of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. God said we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Well, I can go out on my boat or in my tree stand and have church, not scripturally. You can talk to God there, but I can talk to God anywhere. You can go to prison and talk to God. Amen, Brother Juan? He works there. Don't worry. He doesn't stay there like Brother Lopez. He just checks in on the weekends like Otis. You see, the same blood that we are saved by is the same blood that Jesus shed for the church. That means to the Christian, the church ought to be as precious as your salvation. Then how come we don't show up to it like we should? Church is not supposed to be an option. It's not to be there just when we feel like it. Do you know how many times I show up when I don't feel like it? If I showed up to the church the way the average Christian does, you wouldn't want me as your pastor. I like hunting. I like fishing. I like traveling. Guess what? I'm not going to miss church for it. Well, I'm on vacation. Show me in the Bible where you're supposed to take a vacation on God. I may go on vacation, but I'll be in church. Usually I'm preaching while I'm on vacation. You see, church is not to be as we want it. It's supposed to be what he paid for. I am sick and tired of churches trying to please man. How about we please God? I'm sick and tired of churches who are changing their stands, changing their doctrines, changing their music to attract the lost world. It is not for the lost world. It's for the Christian. Because it was paid for by the blood of Christ. Now, the lost should come and want what we have. Yes, they should. We ought to be going out and getting them and bringing them here. Yes, so they see there's something else other than what's in the world. Yes, sir. But God said, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. He's talking about the Christian and the church. And it was the same blood that saves us that he paid for the church. Then why do we want to go to churches that look like the world? They got all the fancy light shows and they got the wild worldly music and they got everybody up on the platform dancing and jigabooing and they got drum sets and everything else. Good night, looks like a nightclub. Got to have all the different colored lights and turn the lights down low out there and brighten up the platform. Look like a Hollywood theater. Jesus didn't die for that mess. I don't find anywhere in Scripture Jesus being satisfied with that. So, I'll finish. One day, in heaven, we will see the very blood that gave us eternal salvation and eternal life. I was putting this together and I thought of my mom passing away just a little over a month ago. Stood right here and preached her funeral. Do you know my mama has looked at that blood? You know that my mama has seen the blood? Whew. It was Jesus, our innocent, perfect lamb, that put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. We'll get to see it. That was for our salvation, but it was also for the church. Hey, you wonder why the church is so important to this old preacher? Because I happen to know that it was the same blood that saved me 49 years ago that he bought this church for as well, and it's the same blood. And we ought to take our attendance to church, our seriousness about church, and the work of the church as serious as we do getting saved. That is the blood and salvation. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. You can't take any more. I wonder, how important is the blood to you? Do you ever even think of it? Do you ever thank him for it? If you've never trusted Christ, you can do it tonight. Maybe I need to get a little bit more serious about your church.